Hello, everybody. Praying everybody's having a great day, and I'm glad you've taken the time to join us for today's lesson. Today, we're going to take a look at one of the most popular and misused verses in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength, from the NIV translation. Now, many of us have seen some variation of these words in encouraging notes and cards, in art, on t-shirts, tattooed on people's bodies, even scrawled on the shoes of famous athletes, or printed on their eye black. Seen a lot of football players with their eye black that has either the scripture or some form of the scripture printed on the eye black. The verse is often shortened to, I can do all things. That's a very encouraging passage of scripture. But what exactly is Paul saying? What is Paul, inspired by God, really saying in chapter 4 and verse 13? Is he telling us to believe in ourselves? Is he telling us to believe that Christ empowers us to do whatever we set our minds to? Now again, this is one of the most well-known New Testament verses, but it's also notoriously misused. If we truly want to know what a Bible verse or a passage means, we have to read it in context. We cannot strip away all the surrounding verses, remove it from its original intent, and still expect to understand what God is really trying to tell us through His Word. So today we're going to take a look at this very popular and encouraging verse, but we're also going to take a look at the context in which it is used to see what we can learn and how we can best apply it to our lives. To see the verse in its entire context, we have to read Philippians 4, verses 10 through 20. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow along, I'm just going to type it up on Bible Gateway. We're going to read Philippians 4, verses 10 through 20. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. Apostle Paul, inspired by God, is transitioning here from what he's been talking about before to now thanking the Philippians for a gift that they've given him. He says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So that's the context that Philippians 4:13 is in. Paul is writing to the Philippians. He's expressing his gratitude for a gift of support that they have sent him. And he's telling them that he is very thankful for it, but that with or without it, he's going to be okay because God's going to take care of him. In other words, he's learned how to be content. And that passage we just read describes how Christians can overcome worry and worldly desires regardless of their circumstances. By making a purposeful decision to be content, we can trust God to provide for our real needs and not be consumed with materialism or anxiety, which is a huge problem in the world that we live in. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Paul has learned this skill through his many trials and ministry experiences. Paul also thanks the Philippians for their generosity and expresses his confidence that God will bless them for it. So let's dig a little bit deeper into that passage. We're not going to look at all of the verses, but let's dig a little bit deeper into verses 10 through 13, because that's the immediate context of where Philippians 4:13 is And that'll give us a better picture of what God's really trying to tell us through these words. So let's start back in verse 10. Paul, inspired by God, says, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." So here Paul transitions to a focus on God's provision. He begins with his recurring theme of rejoicing. Paul's initial reason for writing this letter was to thank the readers for a recent financial gift, which Epaphroditus had brought to him in Rome. The generosity of the Philippians was consistent, and it was much appreciated by Paul. He writes at the beginning of the letter in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 7, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with you because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." Now that passage right there would be a great sermon, and someday it will be, but let's just pull some things out of that and then we'll move on. Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." He remembers the brethren that have helped him in the past. He remembers his brothers and sisters in Christ, and he thanks God every time he does. This is an attitude we all need to have. He says, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." So Paul is thankful. Paul is joyful, and he's always praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ. He is thankful for them. He is joyful with them, and he's always praying for them. Verse 6 says, "being confident of this," and we're going to see that confidence is a key to his contentment later on in the lesson. But back to the intent of today's lesson, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Paul recognizes that the Philippians have an ongoing and sincere interest in his well-being. Paul knew about their support for him, regardless of whether they sent additional financial help. He stresses this further by recognizing that prior to this gift, there had not been a recent opportunity to give financial support. More than likely, the Philippians had no one to take a gift to Paul until Epaphroditus left to visit him in Rome. It was only then that these believers had a safe way to send support to Paul during his time under house arrest. So in verse 11, Paul, inspired by God, continues. He says, "I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." I'm going to reread the last part of that verse. Here's what Paul says, inspired by God, and this is God speaking to us. "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." Paul continues his expression of thanks to the Philippians with the reminder that he was not saying these words because he needed more from them. He is very thankful for the gift, but he's also saying, whether you send it or not, I'm going to be okay. He wanted to show that he was humble, that he was content. Paul could exist with or without earthly needs being met beyond the basic essentials. In addition to living humbly, Paul focuses on the concept of contentment, regardless of the circumstances. Contentment is not automatic, nor is it a natural attitude. Rather, it is a learned skill, which is why he says, "I have learned to be content." Paul's variety of ministry experiences had offered him times of plenty, as well as times of need. And this allowed Paul to learn how to find joy, regardless of his circumstances. Writing from Roman imprisonment, he was at a time of great need. And remember, he writes this letter while imprisoned in Rome. But despite that, Paul expresses joy and contentment. It's important to recall that his imprisonment was not brief. He had been continually held for 2 years in Rome, in addition to multiple years in Palestine. You know, Paul did not have an easy life after he came to Christ. But contentment was essential for Paul to find any joy in his circumstances. In verse 12, Paul continues with this theme of contentment. He says, inspired by God in verse 12, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation." There's the second time now that we see him say, "I have learned." I have learned to be content in Philippians 4 and verse 11. And now in verse 12, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So just before Paul says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength, he recounts some of the different circumstances that he's found himself in. He's been hungry. He's been well-fed. He's been in need, and he's been well-off. And he's learned to be content no matter what his circumstances are. Paul is not juxtaposing these circumstances to suggest that one is better than the other. He's using these extremes to highlight that he understands the range of human experience and that he understands the challenges that come with each position. He's not a rich person telling a poor person to be happy with what they have or vice versa. And he's not sitting there on a full stomach telling hungry people to get over it. He specifically mentions the range of his ministry. He specifically mentions the range of his experiences, including plenty and hunger, abundance and need. So Paul's not speaking from theory in this area. We got a lot of people, got a lot of preachers that speak from theory. They talk about things, but they've never actually experienced any of them. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Just because somebody hasn't experienced everything that somebody else has doesn't make them unqualified to teach. But Paul is not speaking from theory. He's speaking from personal experience, from personal hardships. He had endured much in his service to Christ, including 5 floggings, 3 beatings, a stoning, 3 shipwrecks, and more. We'll talk more about that in a moment. His comments here are meant to include all of these situations as well as many others. Under house arrest while writing this letter, he claims to have found the secret to enduring these struggles. As mentioned previously, this is a deliberate choice to be content in the power of Christ. Paul had gone without food at times and had been given plenty of food at other times. He had lived with much and he had lived with little. He had experienced hunger and thirst. He was without friends and more. And he noted all of this in a letter written long before he wrote Philippians. He talked about this in his second letter to the Corinthians. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 29 real quick. This gives us a window into just exactly what Paul had experienced in his ministry. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Yeah, Paul has experienced a lot. So when he tells the Corinthians, or rather the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength, he's talking about all the stuff he's had to go through. Now in Philippians, Paul has been thanking them for their love for him and the material support that they had been led to give him. He has thanked God for their generosity, that they will be rewarded for their selfless act toward him. And he also said that he didn't mind being in need, because he had experienced need to the point that it had no effect on him anymore, that it had no more effect on him than the abundance that he had experienced. And he claimed to have learned the secret to being content, whatever the situation. And then he states the reason in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 4. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Despite his frequent need, despite the harsh treatment that he had received, Paul joyfully declares his confidence that God will allow him to endure anything. Paul's words reflect the gospel teachings that nothing is impossible with God. Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. Mark 10:27, all things are possible with God. Paul had declared elsewhere that if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 in verse 31. And this perspective can also be found throughout the Old Testament. Jeremiah 32:17 notes that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Job 42 in verse 2 declares God can do anything. God's closest followers have long known that with God nothing is impossible, whether Abraham's promised son Isaac, the people of Israel crossing the Red Sea, or Joshua and Caleb when spying out the promised land. Remember, they were the only two that knew God could give the land to them because he said he would. But Joshua and Caleb, if you remember, had to wait another 40 years because of the cowards that they were with at the time, didn't have any faith. But God preserved them for 40 years and allowed them to lead the next generation into the promised land because God provides on time in his time every time, provided that it is in line with his will. And that's the key to this whole thing. You see, nothing is impossible with God when it's his will. And this is key when we read passages like nothing is impossible with God. Another key to Paul's contentment, another key to his ability to remain content in any and every situation was his confidence. We've got a lot of Christians today that lack confidence. Confidence is different than cockiness. We should not be cocky. We should not be arrogant. We need to realize that we can fall away. We can choose to walk away. The gates to God's kingdom are open. Anyone that is willing can come in if they submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ by putting him on in baptism and walking faithfully with him. At the same time, you can walk out again. Why you would want to do that, I don't know. And that's another lesson for another time. But you can fall away. But that doesn't mean we can't be confident. And we have to be confident. And Paul's confidence can be found throughout his writings. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Galatians 5 and verse 10. I am confident in the Lord. Ephesians 3 and verse 12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord. Paul had absolute confidence, and this absolute confidence in God helped him to be content in any and every situation. And that gets us back to our key verse. I can do all this through him who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. Other translations say, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. We're going to talk about that in a second. Now, as I said earlier, this verse is so misused, because many Christians interpret all things as anything, not all the things Paul has talked about. See, what Paul doesn't mean here, what this verse is not telling us, see, this is not a blanket endorsement that God will support anything that we set out to do and empower us to do whatever impossible things we can imagine. In other words, we can't do anything we want that our will desires because we're Christians. What he's saying is, what this verse is it's an assurance that we can do whatever God calls us to do, not whatever we decide to do. It's not a biblical exhortation you can stamp on whatever goals you have professionally, personally, or physically. I know in working with the kids at the home, when Rachel and I worked at the children's home, and those teen boys, that you know, they wanted to dunk a basketball, and they would quote Philippians 4:13 that they were going to be able to dunk a basketball. I'm like, hold on, son, you're like 5'3", man. Unless you're Tyrone Thurman, you ain't going to be able to dunk that basketball. Y'all don't know who he is. That's another story for another time. But yeah, you had to put it in perspective for him. But see, this is how the world is. The world that we live in is very narcissistic. It's all about me. What can it do for me? So I can do all this through him who gives me strength because I believe in God. I can go out and do whatever I want because he's going to let me do it. And that's not what it's saying. It's an encouragement that God can give you the strength to be content no matter what circumstances you're going through. Now, if you read the NIV translation of verse 13, you'll notice an important distinction from most other translations. And a lot of times, people like to bash the NIV because they say it doesn't translate things correctly. And if you read all the translations, for the most part, they pretty much all say the same thing with just different wording. But there's some instances where some translations are better than others. There's instances where the New American Standard or the New King James translates a verse or passage better than the NIV. But there's also instances where the NIV has a better translation than the other ones. And Philippians 4:13 is one of those instances. So look at how the NIV translates verse 13. It says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. When we read this instead of things, like the New American Standard or the King James translates it, it's a lot more clear that the passage is referring to the specific things that Paul had been talking about. Not all things or everything, as the New Living Translation translates it, in the sense that we can do anything that we want. In its context, I can do all this is the ministry that God has sent Paul to do. He can persevere. He can share the gospel. And he can be content in any situation. Not on his own, but through Jesus Christ who strengthens him. God is telling us through Paul that no matter what our circumstances are, we can learn to be content. That requires effort on the part of the individual. And that's not a law of works. A lot of people get on the grace train and go way off into left field and think if you even put forth any effort that you're basing your salvation on works, and that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You can't just sit around and do nothing. You have to put forth some personal effort. You have to show some initiative. Paul had to learn to be content in any and every situation. He said that twice in that passage, verses 10 through 13 of Philippians 4 and verse 11 and in verse 12, both times. He said, I've learned how to do it. If you learn how to do something, that implies that you've had to put forth some effort in learning that. And that's what Paul has done, and that's what we're to do. And God's telling us through Paul that no matter what our circumstances, we are to learn to be content. How does Paul know? Because he's tested it and he's proved it. How does he do it? How did he learn to be content? Well, that's where verse 13 comes in. So let's break it down as we wrap up the lesson today. Let's break down the key parts of Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The first two words of that verse are, I can. Those are two words that every Christian should have in their vocabulary. I can. You know, I had a coach tell me one time, can't do anything. Don't ever tell me you can't do something, because can't do anything. You got to have a positive attitude. You got to have confidence. You got to have faith. And that means you can. But unlike worldly philosophies and motivational platitudes, Paul's I can is rooted in a strength that is not his own. Our I can should be rooted in a strength not our own. Paul seems to have given up all confidence in the flesh, saying in Philippians 3:3, we put no confidence in the flesh. Therefore, he's learned to live his life fully in Christ. He's not trusting in the world anymore. And when you learn to quit trusting in the world and put your faith fully in Christ, then you can truly live. Second part of that verse, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Do all what? I can go through all that I've had to go through and not lose my head and not lose my faith. I can do all of this because of my confidence in the Lord. Paul is explaining why he does not get very concerned with his material needs. He said, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And like we talked about a minute ago, that stems from his confidence and his trust in God. Paul can walk through all of this and more because he has confidence. And the source of that is the strength that comes not from him, but that comes from Christ. And that's what he says in verse 13. I can do all this through who? Through him who gives me strength. The Lord told Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Joshua 1 and verse 7. David told Solomon to be strong and act like a man, 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2. That's a verse that needs to be preached to men all over this country right now. David, inspired by God, wrote of all who put their hope in the Lord to be strong and take heart, Psalm 31:24. In this and in many other places throughout Scripture, God connects being strong with obeying him. We are called to be strong, but to also know where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from the Lord. And that's what Paul said in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 28:7-8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people. Psalm 28 and verse 8. So Philippians 4:13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This verse can easily be taken out of context, and oftentimes is. And despite well-meaning use of the words, this text does not teach that a Christian is empowered to accomplish any task simply because we're saved. We must remember Paul's comment is specifically referring to the ability of a Christian to endure and to persevere under hardship and persecution. And really, it's almost too simple to grasp. We like to complicate things. We like to dig for meanings that aren't there. Paul told the Corinthians in his second letter, at the opening of his second letter to the Corinthians, I'm not writing you anything that you can't read or understand. And Philippians 4:13 is really almost too simple to grasp. There's nothing that a Christian is not supposed to be able to handle when they are in and with Christ. When you are in Jesus Christ, and you get into Jesus Christ by being immersed into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and you are walking faithfully with Him, then you should be able to handle whatever the world throws at you. It isn't just that Christ is strong enough to handle our trials, but that He will give us the strength that we need so that we can continue to act as His ambassadors and image bearers while on this earth. That's the context of Philippians 4 and verse 13. Glad you took the time to join us today. I'm praying that it challenged you. I'm praying that it encouraged you. And I pray that you'll take some time as you find the time to go dig deeper into the verses that we looked at. Remember in the book of Acts, when Paul talks about the Bereans, he says they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they listened to what Paul said, but then they examined the scriptures daily to confirm what he said. Don't take it from me. You know, take what the speaker tells you, whether it be me or somebody else, and then go in your own time and open the Bible for yourself and study the scriptures that that speaker talked about. Dig deeper into the scriptures we looked at today. That's how you will grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the meantime, I'm glad you took the time to listen to it. I'm praying that it challenged you, praying that it encouraged you, praying you'll take the time to dig deeper, and we look forward to talking to you next time. In the meantime, everybody take care. And God bless.